Well, as you know, a number of us just got back from men's camp, and what an awesome time we had. You know, men don't naturally want to just, like, get together. And, you know, ladies, like, we're wired different. Like, it doesn't just sound like, hey, let's go sit around and talk for a couple days. And so as we overcome our natural tendencies and we make the trip, God meets us there. And as we are worshiping, you could feel the love of God in mighty men. And I know not all of you were able to be there, but God has put men in a specific role, in a specific place, with a set of responsibilities. And if we'll do what God has called us to do as men, then everything else will go well. We're not preaching that message tonight, but I can see a theme that's been going on where we talked about that a few weeks back, and then we talked about the tools that God's given us, like the Word of God, like fasting, things that allow us to put our flesh down so that He can be raised up in us. And as that happens, we become the image of God, literally. And so tonight, this may fit one of those tools. It's for everyone. I'll tell you what, why don't you be seated for a moment? So you have two options: either continue to stand while I talk until we get to the scriptures, or sit down and then stand up again when we get right. So I'm not sure which one of those is better. Let me know after service if you prefer the other, and we'll let you stand for a little longer next time. But tonight I want to start off by recapping the story of Job. It's a story most of us know very well, but the Bible says that Job was an upright man, that he was blameless, that he was always careful to avoid evil, and that he was in every way obedient to God. And Job was well known. He was exceptionally wealthy in his day, in his time, and he had a large family, extensive flocks, and servants, and everybody knew who he was. And in spite of Job's obedience, as the story goes, God accepts a challenge from Satan and removes the hedge of protection that's been around Job and his family and his household, allowing the accuser of the brethren to do whatever he wants short of taking Job's life. This is the abbreviated version of the story. And then in the course of one day, talk about bad days, Job receives four separate messages, each bearing news that his livestock, his servants, his 10 children, all of them have died due to marauding invaders or natural catastrophes. And as he receives the news, Job tears his clothes and shaves his head, and in mourning, he worships God and blesses God in his prayers, regardless of his circumstances. And even as time progressed, Job's body becomes covered with sores, boils. His wife suggests that he just curse God and die. Job maintains his trust in God, saying, as Pastor said this morning, even if God would take my own life, yet will I serve him. Of course, as the story goes, now the neighbors are talking, and everyone's thinking, Job, you must be hiding some secret sin. Just look at how judgment has come down on your house. And as he's lost everything, he's lost his friends, he's lost his family, he's lost his wealth, he has no idea how to get out from under his situation. Let me tell you, someone here tonight is wondering, how am I going to get out from under my situation? You don't have to raise your hand, because every one of us have been there, and some of us are there right now. Someone here tonight is asking, how am I going to make it? Am I going to even get through this situation? How could I ever recover from something like this? Job didn't know if this was the end of his life or what was next for him. He didn't know what his future would hold. And throughout the book of Job, the story itself doesn't directly give an answer to these questions. How am I going to make it? Will I ever be able to overcome? He just perseveres, regardless of the circumstances. And yet, without a clear path forward in all his pain, he still trusts God. Oftentimes, as we go through situations, I'm speaking from experience, it's rare, I would say, never happens when we're in the middle of it that we get an answer of how we're going to get through or what it's going to be like or what the other side is going to be or when it's going to come. You see, you can't see the way out when you're in the middle of a storm. But then someday down the road, God delivers us and shows himself strong on our behalf. And looking back, it becomes so clear how the whole time he was working a process. He was there. But even though Job doesn't tell us or give us a specific answer as to how to answer these questions, how am I going to get through a situation like this, Job hid the answer in Job chapter 42. If you stand with me now as we turn in our Bibles to our opening text in Job chapter 42, starting in verse 12. It's here that we read about the deliverance of Job and the blessing that came as God delivered him from his situation. As God released him from captivity, Job chapter 42, starting in verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginnings. For he had 14,000 sheep now and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. And he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. We sing that song, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 14 of Job 42, here's where he planted the secret. The answer to how are we going to get out of this situation? How are we going to survive? How are we going to make it? In verse 14, he says, and he called the name of his first, Jemima. The first of the daughters. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had lost all of his children, all of his house, all of his possessions. And as God started to give back to him what he had lost, more than he had before, the first daughter he named Jemima. The name Jemima meaning day by day. He planted the answer to the question as God gave back to him everything that he had ever lost. So how can we overcome tragedy? How can we become successful in the face of evil? How can we make it? Just got to live by day by day. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we're so grateful for your presence and the power that's in this place, that the manifestation that takes place in our presence, that you would allow us to experience your majesty. And tonight, God, as your word goes forth, Lord, let it achieve your perfect will. God, let it equip us, empower us. God, let us build a strong foundation on it tonight. Lord, let each and every one of us take steps day by day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Over this next portion of time tonight, I would like to present to you the doctrine of daily. If you can get a hold of this doctrine, I promise that it will free you from all sorts of things in life. Things that want to rob you of your peace, rob you of your joy, rob you of the love in the Holy Ghost. And if you've lost hope, chances are you've also lost the doctrine of daily. If you turn your Bibles next with me to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, Lamentations, the title itself is lamenting, right? This is not the place to go to cheer yourself up. But it does reassure us in some way that we're not alone. And you know what? When we go through situations, that's the first thing that we start to think, I'm all alone in this situation. When in fact, we all go through situations. And if you've been lamenting, let's read the lamenting of the prophet. And I'm going to paraphrase the first portion of this chapter 3, and we're going to then lead up to verse 21. So let me just give you the highlights of all the lamenting that's going on. The prophet says, "My life is filled with so much affliction. My body, it feels like it's full of broken bones. I feel surrounded by my problems as if I'm dead, left to lie in dark places. Feeling like I can't get out, as if a heavy chain is around my neck. And when I pray, it seems as though my prayers bounce right back to me, never reaching God. No matter what I do, it seems like I make the wrong decision. And now I'm all alone, living a shattered life, with only memories of what once was. I have a constant target on my back. My friends and family ridiculed me to the point that I only feel bitterness and anger. My life has gone up in flames, and now nothing is left but a pile of ashes. I'm broke, I'm weak, I'm beggarly, and with my last breath I cry out saying, my confidence in you, God, is gone. It's perished." I don't know what was going on in the prophet's life that he had these feelings, these thoughts, but we're all made of the same stuff. But in the worst of situations, somehow in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, the prophet shakes himself and somehow finds a little ember of hope. Something that's still smoldering under the ashes of a shattered life that doesn't look anything like it used to look like. And now reading from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, the prophet says, "This now I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." His compassions are new every morning, every day. See, every day we can renew our hope. The challenge is, in order to grab a hold of today, you have to let go of yesterday. Living in the past will rob you of something in the present. Or similarly, at the same time as we're lamenting like the prophet, as we start to contemplate what tomorrow will bring, we try to take our past disappointments and predict our future. In doing so, we let go of today, anxious about tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Literally. I shared it this morning as this thought's been on my heart and mind, that this day, this moment in time, today, this Sunday, August 25th, is literally the day of salvation. See, yesterday doesn't count. You can make a decision today and miss out. Or you can make a decision today and grab a hold of the promises of God. Today is the day. Yesterday doesn't count, and you can't access tomorrow. It's not available to you. So you can't reach into the future and say, God has promises for me tomorrow that I'm just waiting on. No, he has promises for you today. The prophet goes on in Lamentations to say in chapter 3, verse 24, continue reading the same chapter, verse 24, it says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." You see, we need to get this doctrine of daily into our hearts, because the world all around us is saying, beg, borrow, steal, do whatever it takes to get what you need. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, no, 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 wait on me. Seek me, put your hope in me. Be patient, quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says that if we don't grab a hold of God in this doctrine of daily, eventually our faith will fade and lead to unbelief. We've heard it so many times, you don't backslide overnight. You don't walk away from God tomorrow because today was a bad day. No, it's a systematic process that happens over time gradually. Instead of adding the days up towards God, we add the days away from God, and eventually our faith fails and leads to sin. And see, we're not equipped to overcome this flesh alone, but sometimes we try to do it anyways. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Let me translate that for you. If you withdraw from your time with God, your heart can turn evil. But we know if we pick up our cross daily, well, then we can become partakers of the promises of God. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. You see, God is an omniscient God, and obviously he knows the past. It's happened. We can read about some of it. But he also knows the future. But you know what he's most worried about? Today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "But exhort one another daily." Well, make sure you call your friend or your brother tomorrow morning. No. Today, while it's today. "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For if we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Well, how can you hear his voice today if you aren't talking to him today? How can we grab a hold of the promises of God and the word of God if we haven't picked up the word of God today? Sometimes we're waiting. I think we're waiting for God to send us a sign, a pillar of fire, a burning bush, do something miraculous in our situation, parting the Red Sea, while God is saying, just pick up your cross and follow me. And then do the same thing on Monday, and do the same thing on Tuesday, and then do the same thing on Wednesday. In fact, since it's Wednesday, why don't you do it twice? So how do you overcome this terrible thing in your life? You overcome it one day at a time. Getting a hold of God one day at a time, picking up your Bible one day at a time, reciting the promises of God, and one day at a time singing praises to him, one day at a time making melodies in your hearts, one day at a time. It seems so simple, but yet why is it so hard? Consider the Lord's Prayer. Many of us learned that to recite that. I did it growing up in the church that I grew up in that didn't understand who Jesus was, or that you could speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance, or baptism. We didn't have any of that, but we believed in the Bible, and I don't think we were instructed to repeat the Lord's Prayer as prayer, as some faiths do, but it's a framework. And so let's just consider that. Day to day, as we talk to God, telling God, here's the framework. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So this wasn't a prayer to cover you for a week or a month or a year. The framework God gave us was for daily interaction. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." These are well-known scriptures in our hearts and minds. As Jesus instructs his disciples how to pray, we see the doctrine of daily. But sometimes we pray on Sunday and we hope it covers Monday and Tuesday. Sometimes we spend time with God on Wednesday hoping that it's going to allocate enough spirit for Thursday and Friday. I'm talking about myself, so we're all in this together. If you want to unlock the secret to living an overcoming life, you have to grab a hold of the doctrine of daily. Because some things are only available to us today. I shared this story, this illustration, some of you might remember it. For many years on the south side of our garage, there was a large patch of raspberry bushes. It started off as just a couple of little plants, but as they grow kind of like weeds, I would take those shoots that came out and replant them. And every year I did this over and over again until I had two very large rows of raspberry bushes living on the south side of my garage. As long as the garage was, that's how far they were. And they started to actually go a little past that. Yeah, I know. It was a point of irritation for some of us. So if you've ever had more than a couple raspberry bushes, you know, just that little plant by itself doesn't really produce a lot. But as you have two rows thick, you know, so thick that I can't reach through one row, then you know that that's going to produce a lot of raspberries. And that if you don't go out there and pick those raspberries every day. See, raspberries, one of the best things about raspberry bushes is that they produce fruit for almost 2 months throughout the summer. You know, like you plant tomato plants and then you get all these tomatoes, and how are you going to eat all these tomatoes at the end of the summer? Like, they all show up at once practically. Well, raspberries don't do that. They start producing fruit mid-June, maybe towards the end of June, depending, and give you almost 2 months worth of producing fruit, and even a little past that. But the time in which a raspberry is ready for picking is very narrow. I would say you could go, it's somewhere between 24 and 48 hours if you want the optimal raspberry. If you pick it too early, you'll pull the whole thing off with the stem and everything, and it won't taste as good because it's still a little bit bitter. It may look like a berry, but it's not ready. And then if you wait past that, I'll say 24 to 48 hour period, it real quickly turns into a watery, mushy thing that nobody wants to eat because it just, and it tastes like watered down Kool-Aid. Nobody likes that. And so as these berries come, I found myself out there every day almost up to an hour picking them, and you have to go under, they like to hide under the leaves, and so you have to like get on all these angles, and you know, I had these sticks that I would use because they're prickly. I'd wear gloves sometimes and trying to find, oh, there's some more hiding over there. And every day I was filling up these, what are they, quart size containers, 2-3 a day. And then I go back tomorrow and do it again. And then tomorrow again. Because if you miss out on the raspberries, all they do is turn mushy. And I'll tell you what, when you're picking raspberries, the last thing you want is a bunch of mushy raspberries hanging from the branches, because now whatever you're wearing is going to be coated with some raspberries. And similarly, the doctrine of daily has blessings for you that are exclusively available on a single day. You can't wait till tomorrow to get what God has for you today, and you can't pick what was there. It's daily. The power to overcome this flesh for Monday isn't available on Sunday. It's available on Monday. Yesterday's time with God isn't enough to cover tomorrow. And next Sunday's service definitely isn't going to help us because we can't reach into the future. So every day, God has given us the tools to live an overcoming life. Next Sunday, it'll actually be 23 years since God revealed himself to me in this place when I was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a miracle. If you knew me 23 years ago, you would know it's a miracle. But as God revealed himself and this truth, you know, there, like many of us, there's a few things that just kind of fall away real quickly. Like, I'm going to drop this and pick up God and do these things and become faithful to service and church and love God, believe the Bible, and worship God. But I remember sometime, and I don't remember exactly, but in those first few years, I don't know if it was year 2 or 3, or it was in that time frame, though, I remember starting to become frustrated. You know, some days flying really high on God, and then other days, just someone needed to pick me up off the floor. It was like being on a roller coaster. I'm up for God, and then I'm down. I'm up for God, and then I'm down. And sometimes the roller coaster would last a little while, and sometimes the down would last for a little while. And I remember going on this cycle over and over and over again to the point where now I'm starting to wonder, you know, what's wrong with me? Jumping for joy one day, and then the next day saying, woe is me, what's going on? And during those years, I never stopped loving God. I never walked away from God. I didn't stop believing in the Bible. But you know what? I really didn't seek his face outside of Sundays and Wednesdays. As time went on, the roller coaster of up and downs continued. And as it did, I could feel God convicting me through the preaching or through his spirit, just calling me to just pray, to build a stronger relationship with him. But I think somehow my flesh knew that if I started to pray, I would actually want to do more for God. That I would change things in my life that I wasn't really wanting to change. And so if I just avoid growing this relationship with God, well, then I can avoid making those greater commitments to God. It's not a good strategy. You know, it's easy for me to look back now and start to analyze these things. Well, what was going on? Why was this happening? But in the moment, I didn't have any understanding, because when you're in the moment of those situations, it's really hard to see clearly the way out. The things that were preventing me from going deeper, it was me. And in God's mercy, he allowed me to make wrong choices day after day after day until one day calamity entered my life. It was his mercy that allowed situations to cause me to reevaluate or really have no other option except to get on my knees and seek God and ask him for his deliverance. And as I found myself praying like I never prayed before, as I invested time with him out of desperation, God poured out a blessing each day and taught me how to pray, how to communicate, how to seek his face. And as the days added up, so did the blessing. See, there was never a burning bush. There wasn't a fish with a gold coin in its mouth. But day by day, the love of God grew in my heart. And day by day, the scale that I always imagine is in me that tips either towards God or away from God started to slowly tip more and more towards God. I wonder how often it's we that frustrate ourselves simply because we skip too many days. We let too much time in between services, not taking the time to seek God daily, not taking the time to hear his voice. Are you stuck in a place you don't want to be? Job has a secret to tell you. Her name was Jemima, meaning day by day. If you turn your Bibles with me next to Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse 4, here God paints a perfect picture, and Pastor already alluded to it this morning. Here God illustrates the doctrine of day by day, or the doctrine of daily. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, we're reading about the manna that fell from heaven, as Pastor spoke this morning. Then Exodus 16:4 says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I'll be your provider. I'll take care of you. I'll supply all your needs. I'll help you deal with even the emotions of life. I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Could God be asking us, giving us a specific measure, a prescription, a formula to prove us, to see if we'll walk in it? Dropping down to Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." So if you have five people in your tent or your family or household, then take five omers of this manna. If you're single, then take one omer. And so based on the number of people, that's how much you were to collect. And the children did so. Some and gathered some more and some less, because some people had more people in their household and some had less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. It was the exact right amount in order to feed his family. And he that gathered little had no lack. There was no shortage because I didn't double my omer today. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. So you couldn't put it in the fridge and save it as leftovers for tomorrow, even if you, for some reason, felt full. And even though Moses instructed them not to leave it out till the morning, so notwithstanding or not following those directions, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Quoting verse 4 that we read earlier, at a certain rate every day, that I might prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. God has a specific rate for our walk with him. That rate is daily. It's a daily rate, day by day. He didn't prescribe this rate to impose on us or take away from our lives. No, he prescribed this rate so that we could unlock blessings and promises that are renewed fresh each day because his mercy is new each day. But if you miss today's mercy, if you miss today's blessings, well, you can't go back to yesterday and get them. And you can't reach into tomorrow's to grab a hold of the future. You have to get yours today. As the musicians come, it's no coincidence that Pastor preached about manna that fell from heaven to feed the nation of Israel who were in a desert place each day. And as this morning, as Pastor read from Psalms 78 and 25, where the Bible says that man did eat angels' food, I leaned over to my wife and said, hey, that's good news. If angels have food, then we still get to eat in heaven. Right? Why else would they have food? This is angels' food. And if that's not evidence enough, let me prove this to you. When the resurrected body of Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road, like we heard about this morning, when his words burned in their heart, Luke chapter 24 and 30 says that Jesus sat at meat with them and took bread with them. And again, in that same chapter, when Jesus suddenly appears to the disciples in that locked room, showing them his nail-pierced hands and feet, Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 24 and 41, got anything to eat? The resurrected flesh was hungry. He said, or have ye any meat here? So they gave him some broiled fish and some honeycomb, and the Bible says he did eat. So if you're a vegetarian, Jesus prefers meat, not vegetables. I'm sorry. He didn't ask for a salad. So while I would like to speculate, I'm not certain if there'll be a Culver's in heaven. There's a slightly greater chance, though, that there will be a Chick-fil-A since they have respect unto the Lord and separate themselves on Sundays, not having been open. Where is she? I promised her. I told you I would give some love to Chick-fil-A. She works there, and I frequent there on a regular basis, so. You know, you can't have burgers every day, or at least for every meal, so if you want to rotate, Chick-fil-A is a good choice. But of course, this message isn't about food. And it doesn't really matter if there is or isn't food in heaven. I really hope there is, because I like it. But just like Pastor preached this morning, what really does matter is if you're satisfied with what God is serving. You see, in order for the doctrine of daily to truly unlock all of what God has for you, it has to be partnered with faith that God is in control of your life and your situation. See, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and Lord, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But how can we have confidence in a God, that confidence that he's on the throne, if it's been a few days since we've seen him high and lifted up? See, now as you make a renewed commitment to God and as you start to embrace this doctrine of daily, you may not actually start out fully embracing or trusting that God has everything in control in the moment in your life, especially if you're in a storm. But I'll tell you, as you start to seek him each day, as those daily blessings start to add up, as you daily receive strength through him, through your prayers, through your worship, and through reading his word, the doctrine of daily will always eventually produce faith that God has everything under control. See, it's not circumstances that we trust, it's God. Now, I know tonight that there are situations here that have held some of us hostage for so long, we can't even see the way out. We can't imagine there's a way out. And it reminds me of the story I've heard pastors share of the farmer who was digging a well. And after days of digging, his horse somehow got loose and accidentally fell into the hole that he was digging. And as word got out, his neighbors came by trying to offer a hand or lend some advice that might help the farmer get his horse out of this hole alive. And as the farmer pondered his situation, he reached for the same shovel that he'd used to dig the hole and started shoveling piles of dirt back into the hole. His neighbors cried out, "What are you doing? If you keep that up, you're going to bury your horse alive." The farmer, without word, just continued to shovel onto the horse that was trapped in the pit. And as the neighbors left, somewhat in disgust, not wanting to witness a horse being buried alive, the farmer just kept shoveling, one shovel at a time. He'd shovel the dirt from the pile into the pit and throw it onto the back of the horse. Each time the shovel full of dirt hit the back of the horse naturally shook his back and then stomped his feet, grunting in displeasure. Time and time again, the dirt would land on the back of the horse and the horse would shake and stomp his feet, shovel after shovel. But before long, that pile of dirt, before it was fully returned to the hole, suddenly the horse's head was above the ledge and now able to appear above the ground, and he leapt out of the hole. You see, each time the horse stomped his feet in protest, the ground was compacted thousands of times. And now that well, that hole that was so deep that trapped him, that showed no way of escape, suddenly offered the horse a way of escape. And much like a single shovel's worth of dirt thrown on the back of a trapped horse, we don't always see what God is doing each day. He does part the Red Sea. He does do the miraculous, but more often he does a shovel of dirt a day. One foot in front of another, then another foot in front of another, one step at a time. We'd love to be out of our situation tomorrow, but he's given us a path. You just have to start walking on it today. Would you stand with me tonight? This morning, Pastor mentioned, and I've often contemplated the Paul when he said he learned to be content in with whichever state he was in. He learned to hunger when he was full. He learned to abound when he was abased, and vice versa. So no matter what it was, he was always set, both satisfied and reaching. I'm pretty sure that the only way that could happen is through the doctrine of daily, where you grow your confidence in God, where you... So tonight, as we open up this altar, would you come knowing that today is literally the day of salvation? Tonight, you can take a step in the process, a step closer to the exit. You might not have the exit tomorrow morning, but I promise you, if you continue on this path, his mercies are made new every day. Would you come?